the meeting of the design group. I think we made some different progress at the last one. There came up some interesting suggestions for our new remote control. I'll again very quickly just present some notes of that meeting. Now the problem with existing remote controls we felt was that they were ugly, and the people prepared to pay a premium for something better. They've got lots of buttons on them that people don't use and find difficult to learn, and people lose them. We thought that for our new remote control that everybody would want to rush out and buy, that we should look at speech recognition rather than buttons, and that if you have any buttons, there should be very few of them and only for those functions that are actually identified that people use. We want to go for a long-lasting battery that we guarantee for the life of the product, and a shape that will be instantly recognizable, as a trendy remote control, and B, as a real reaction product, so that when people are happy with that, they will want to buy everything else from us. So again, we'll have the three presentations from the three of you, and then we'll make a final decision. And the decisions that we need to make today finally are what energy source we want to use, whether it is practical to use a long-lasting one. I think our discussion was around the fact that if we're going to go for a long-lasting power supply, then basically it's sealed for life. If anybody does manage to run one down, we'll give them another one. It will be prominently displayed as part of the advertising literature that it's for life, guaranteed for life. Now the internal chip. This is where I need Kate's expert advice, given that this has to go to market as quickly as possible. Do we go for a custom designed chip, or do we buy one off the shelf and then program it ourselves? I'm not an expert on these things, but presumably there must be loads of them already on the market that we can modify. That's your area of expertise. And then the overall design of the case is Kendra's field. And we had some discussions last time as to how we might go forward, and we'll finalise those today. And this is all linked to the user interface, whether we go for voice buttons or a bit of both. For the next meeting, Kate will be looking at the look, feel and design, Kendra, really, how the user actually uses it, and Andrew, of course, the product evaluation. And Kate and Kendra will be producing a model for us to look at. So if we could have the three presentations again, please, and perhaps we'd like to start.
Okay. I'll just jump here at the components design. basically I just looked at what exactly do remotes do. Basically they wait for you to press key or get a voice command, and then this is translated into light signals, which are then seen by the TV. The materials we're going to need to look at, the two big ones are the integrated circuit chip and the battery. And the integrated circuit chip works in conjunction with a diode, a transistor, a resonator, two more resistors, and a capacitor. And the battery works in conjunction with a resistor and a capacitor. Basically, what happens is you'll press a number or get a voice command, and this creates a connection within the remote that allows the chip. The chip then senses this connection and produces a signal in Morse code format. This signal is sent to the transistor, which amplifies it and then sends it on to the light-emitting diode, and which is then changed into infrared light, which is sent to the TV and sort of seen by the TV, and which changes the channels. So as for how we should end up using this in our remote, a couple of main questions are the buttons. The fewer buttons you have, I guess the few internal connections, internal codes you're going to need. However, to not have buttons, or to use a voice command instead of buttons, might make these connections more difficult and raise production costs. That's something you should think about. Also, we have to work within the company constraints, and the company is informing me via email that they're experts at push buttons, and that seems to be the most cost-effective way of producing it. Also, with battery connections, the company has some limits on the batteries we can use, so I was thinking perhaps a combination of solar cells with a backup basic battery, and somehow getting a combination of that two, we might be able to come up with something that will last the lifetime for the 5 to 10 years, and we can still keep that original idea. We also need to look at chips, custom design versus off the shelf. And the custom design will give us much more flexibility and enable us to incorporate the voice function that we all seem to have agreed upon. However, let's say they cost more, but the off the shelf is going to be cheaper, and it's going to allow us to produce it quicker and get it out there faster, but it's going to be less flexible with the features, especially things like voice activation, which haven't really been used much on remotes, so there's not really chips out there that would be easy to convert to. If we were definitely going to go with the voice option, we'd probably have to design our own chip. And that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, so how, sorry, can you just put that one back up again, please? I mean, inevitably, a custom design chip is going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. Do we know by how much?
I don't actually have any price information. No.
And do we know how long it will take to develop a custom chip?
A lot longer than an off-the-shelf chip. The problem is the voice technology is not really highly developed. It's sort of still in experimental form. So it would it's hard to predict the time.
Right. I think we need to make a decision here. Given that the company wants this on the market quickly and cheaply, that would appear to effectively constrain us to an existing chip, and thus therefore conventional button technology. Now before we get around it, yes, does anybody have anything to say about that?
I just have a question about that. Does it make a difference if there are just a few commands? For example, if you can pre-program in like numbers 1 through 10 and pre-program, say, you know, 9 channels, and then just use the voice recognition to say channel 1, and then you've programmed in, say, BBC4 as your channel 1, as your favorites, like to have a certain number of favorites.
Well, just to incorporate the voice activation is sort of the trick. Once you've got the whole voice chip in there, then it's pretty much the world, either the sky is your limit. But to actually, the big step is to actually get the voice activation chips in there and working.
I find that slightly surprising, given that their mobile phone incorporates voice activated dialing. So, for a slightly different. Well, no, it's if you'd be. Speak somebody's name, it'll dial the number for you. So, I mean, this information is from, this is the internal company information, is it?
Bits of it, yeah.
So,
Of course, mobile phones do tend to be more expensive.
Yeah.
Now, £150 or something. As opposed to
Yeah,
30,
true, again,
70
but
euros
without
for a
any
phone.
price information, that's difficult to decide.
It's a more affordable, a lot of technology than not just that,
Yeah,
so.
that's right. I can see it's, you can't, because mobile phones are expensive, you can't say it's a voice recognition
Yeah.
bit that these, but we don't know. I mean, I mean, if given that the technology is not well developed, and given that it's never been done before, the double risk, perhaps we ought to stick to buttons, since the last thing we want to do is present a product that doesn't work.
Another thought. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say maybe like maybe we can like cut corners somewhere else to bring it in over cost.
I mean, do we think that the voice technology is fundamental to the project?
It's fun, but well, I mean, I guess it's something we've discussed since the beginning. So I think in our minds it's fundamental, but I don't know that the upper echelons of the company would necessarily agree with that. So I think
I mean, I think
things like
we.
It wasn't the timepiece that crashed, but I just stopped recording. Like, it wasn't responding to anything I was pressing on. So it looks like it's recording. So, starting in.
Well, I kind of think if we're going to have the voice recognition part of it, then we should have the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's
And we've been talking about it the whole time, and Rama, I mean, kind of inclined to say that we should just go
Right,
for it.
okay.
It takes some pressure on finding it's the second most important aspect of these is that the device should be technologically innovative.
Yeah.
And so
From my perspective.
yeah,
So
it should be
technologically innovative.
right, okay. So
No, sounds
fine,
good.
okay. It will have a voice recognition, and if that means, I mean, if that means we can't afford buttons, but I mean, second question: do we need the five buttons for channel change, up, down, volume up, down, and on, off? Just as a backup, or just so that people can maybe
Yeah,
just sit there pressing
I would say
buttons.
you do.
I think so.
Right. Okay, sorry, did you want to say anything?
No, that's
No?
good.
Okay, shall we move rapidly on to
Okay.
end up? Likely move the cable over.
user interface are just the aspects that are seen by users, commands and mechanisms for the operation, and they're just kind of a variety of choices. Finding, so a lot of times they tend to look cluttered,
mm-hmm.
and these were just a couple examples of different kinds that are a little bit more unusual. There are some special ones available, like this one right here, which is marketed towards children, different designs. And one of the things that we need to watch out for is a V in volume, because people make a little picture of what I thought ours could look like. So just kind of minimize the clutter, avoid too many buttons. And also, one of the things that people have used is a slide button like you have on a mouse, that possibly we could use that on the sides for volume, for example, have a slide button on the side, and then you can pre-program the channels, the voice recognition, and then the voice response sample locator.
If I can interrupt you, well, did you want to say anything about slide controls? I mean, I think the reason that we use push buttons is that they're simple, cheap, and
I think they're about the same cost, really. I mean, I think it's just sort of there's a lot of slide buttons out there, and I think it's pretty much the same sort of connection.
Just because I'm, for example, if I'm using a mouse, I like to be able to slide it up and down, so that might be good for volume, to just be able to kind of roll it and then have the up and down and then the.
So three buttons and a slider. Three buttons, the channel,
yes.
Have you got channel up down, have you got the slider as well? Because if you notice something, it kind of like it's got kind of, it kind of like sticks, you know what I mean? Up like one unit, you know? So it kind of goes up one, then like you can keep going up, but it's like a claw or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of take it up one at a time.
The only advantage I was thinking of to having the buttons, like the buttons on one side for the channel and the sliders, that if you're just holding it in your hand and pick it up, it's easy to know, okay, this is just the volume.
It's the volume, most likely not.
Yeah, but eventually pick up results, you like meant to change the channel and turn the volume or vice versa, so you kind of get to have them feel completely different, you know what you were fiddling with.
This is what's it's come up with is the actual shape that people can instantly pick it up and know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking at sliders for both volume and channel change.
I was thinking kind of just for the volume. What do you guys think?
I don't know, depending on the final shape, because you can have I don't know where it's there, but so you can control the volume with your thumb, and then you can control the buttons with your fingers.
Yeah, in that kind of position, the fingers would be better for pressing.
It seems to me that it also has the advantage that the two are clearly different.
Yeah.
There's no possibility of confusing the two. So, okay. Right. So, is that all you
want
to say? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
My problem trend watching. The digital chrome internet from executive summary for us on the top three things once I can see what I've got reports from past line on new fashions. And the most important aspect is the look fancy look and feel. Instead of the current functional look and feel. And this is twice as important as the second aspect, which is the technologically innovative side of it. So, on the third thing, easy to use, it's probably a given that we probably have to try and incorporate. So,
I think that what we're suggesting ought to address all three of those.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
From the traction watchers from my parents have said fruit vegetables are an important theme for clothes and furniture and shoes, etc. A spongy material. On the set.
I thought of that, that's different, so.
I was going to say, fruit and vegetables are important to this year, important to furniture. Just kind of say, if fashion, if we're going for the, it looks fancy, and fashion's obviously one we have to go into, but fashions don't last very long.
Well, that can kind of tie into our changing face things. Like, we could have fruit and vegetable theme this year, whatever happens next year, we can have the face plates. Yeah.
Like a spongy skin on it.
Yeah.
You can just put that off and.
Yeah,
like the kind you get on like hand weights. You know, that
spongy. Yeah, weird. I don't know what that is, but
Also means you drop it without damaging it.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
If we could save, depending on the cost of the product itself, you know, could we have a cheaper power source and then just have it annually renewed instead of having a 10-year guarantee with interchangeable colours or just buy a new one every year, a new or when your fashion's covered?
I mean, that's an interesting idea. It's like the old Swatch watch, where the batteries have a lot of change in those. People just bought a new one, but in fact, a fashion. This has never been seen as a fashion item before.
Yeah.
That's the maybe sufficient quantity.
I think it's easier sometimes to have them buy changeable covers for it than to buy a whole new one, because you don't feel like you're investing in a whole new product.
I mean, my feeling is that the current power sources are such that for relatively little cost, you can make it last, a long time. But if you also make it cheap enough for people either change the cover every year or even buy a new one every year, then it's even better.
What if we included the batteries in the cover?
Oh, yeah.
So,
that also kind of encourages them to buy new covers.
So, can I see that in things?
I mean, the immediate thing that comes to mind with that is that you've then got the connection. And you've immediately got a source of unreliability, whereas the advantage of having it plumbed in is that the whole thing is all completely soldered together.
Yeah,
I guess. And it takes reliability. But I mean, I know what you're saying and understand where you're coming from.
Oh, but like more than just the battery, like a completely different, it's the bit you keep. This is expensive, but this is like the chip, and this is the microphone, and then this is the power source, and that everyone sees.
I think if we're going down that route, then talking about the cost slightly more than that, just building the whole thing in one, and getting cheaper production costs, and giving people the option of buying a complete new thing. The advantage of a replaceable cover is that even if it doesn't have a cover on at all, it will still work.
Totally.
I mean, if people lose the cover, I mean, they might be well inclined to go out and spend how many euros on a new one, rather than a complete new.
Well, that's just it with the covers. You're sort of tricking them into continuing to spend their money on our products without making them feel like they're being ripped off, having to buy a new product.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to
a euro to get.
Yeah,
it's up to our marketing people
to
turn it into a fashion item. As the external fashions change, then we get new covers on the market, readily available.
And that's the sort of thing, once you get the mold set, you can just whip out different colours.
You haven't finished your.
I don't watch this. I was just going to say, we're going to make this part of the fashion supply to furniture, so we're going to make this part of the furniture.
It's the sort of thing that we want people to have prominently displayed on their coffee table to say, this says something about me.
This is fashionable.
This is fashionable. I know I'm with it. I'm up to date. You know, the design that I've got, it could be a homemade design. You know, this says this is not just a television remote control. This is, you know, a fashion accessory. So I mean, the basic shape is what we. I mean, given that we've got, you know, one off button, presumably two buttons for channel change and one slider, basically nothing else. We need to decide on just the basic shape of the thing. You know, whether we go down the fruit and veg route, and I'm going to suggest we make it look like a banana, but you know, sort of the organic, you know, curved look, you know, to deliberately get away from the square look of most current remotes. And, you know, whether you know, the fixed part of it is the corporate yellow, or because so, you know, the corporate logo needs to be prominently displayed so that people look at it and say, right, that's a real reaction remote control, I want one of those.
I don't know that we should make the whole thing yellow. How about you'd have like a yellow circle with the RR and it's
yeah,
R on it, but yellow seems a bit of a strong color.
Yeah,
maybe like the thing. No,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like white,
no,
gray,
I
black,
yeah, I mean,
some sort
we're
of
we're
black.
Simply,
color.
It's simply required
yeah.
to incorporate the corporate
yeah.
logo prominently.
Well,
this is the whole point. Yes, you know, I've got a real reaction remote control to get my real reaction coffee maker or whatever, and. Then people demand more real reaction
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Well, I was sort of kind of picturing like maybe a shape that's almost like a mouse. Mm.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when they hold it, it's because a mouse is pretty comfortable to hold in your hand. Maybe we can make it a slightly different shape so they can hold on to it, but that way they can have the volume on the side and then the channel buttons.
Yeah. I mean, well, as I said, my idea is probably, you know, a bit fatter than this, but sort of
yeah.
that sort of shape, so
yeah,
that you just sort of
yeah.
hold it.
The mouse is kind of just resting on it, you want something you can definitely grip.
It's sort of
a combination.
Yeah,
a
yeah.
mouse, but held,
yeah.
you know, so you can sort of hold it in your hand like that,
yeah.
you know, fiddling
around
with the buttons.
Yeah, so yeah, kind of maybe a little wider than this, because this is pretty comfortable to hold.
Maybe almost like a hairbrush, like you get the bubble into that and
yeah.
then it widens up.
Yeah, wider up here.
And
then it would have a wider thing to
yeah.
Have the light, the
yeah.
infrared light at the TV, and just kind of change channels and adjust the volume. The power could be wherever on the top or something. What do you guys think about that?
That sounds okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm suddenly realizing that, yeah, we're discussing how good it's going to be to change channels. We still can just tell to when we start to get away from the voice functionality.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
That is a very good point.
I think we decided that we're actually going down both routes.
Yeah.
That we need the manual controls and that they should be of that form.
Yeah.
But that's yeah.
Do you know this shape also kind of does lend itself to voices? Because if you're holding it and you're fiddling, which you can also
yeah,
bring it up like that.
And just speak
nice.
To it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we've got like we're leaving out the buttons for the flesh we can use stuff, but maybe
mm-hmm.
we can incorporate that into the voice.
I honestly, my personal view is that if it's not there, people wouldn't use it anyway.
I suppose.
Originally,
off chance, you know, the brightness is wrong, and you're dealing with the contrast is changing.
It's certainly possible. I mean, we're going beyond, given the state of the technology, we want something that we know will work.
Mm.
We can still incorporate the voice with the best buttons. I mean, if the power button was also somehow like a menu button, we could press that and or do voice commands, and the volume thing could also be to scroll through other options, like, and you could scroll through
yeah,
brightness.
Yeah,
and
I suppose
you can minimize the buttons and still have
yeah.
those, you know, brightness and tint and stuff.
I'm getting a clear message that we think that we should have those facilities available.
So I guess we could have a menu button as well. We could have the channel.
channels and the power and then a menu button
Yeah.
and then the volume. So I have four buttons and the volume instead of three buttons and the volume.
Okay, if we're going down that route, then we need some sort of display. Do we need some sort of display?
Yeah,
That's
just
television.
Yeah,
television.
That you can power
okay.
it down.
Okay.
And then hit menu,
okay.
and then you will come up on television
okay.
and have like 10 brightness
okay.
and you can scroll to whatever it is.
On the silicon base, the scrolling button is actually a button as well. If you press
yeah.
it, you can press that.
Yeah,
that's
true. Press that is.
Yeah, memory's not that work though, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's like the mouse where you just kind of click it and mm-hmm. just press it. Yeah, and you could just click that to. So if you had like the menu, then you could scroll through and then click it to select.
Okay, we've got 5 minutes to go in this meeting, so I think we've actually very conveniently just come to a good point to sum up. Kate and Kendra now go away and play with a bit of fantasy or Play-Doh, whatever it is on the other side of the Atlantic. And actually put what we've discussed into something, I was going to say concrete, but that's a slightly inappropriate word, to something that we can see, and everybody can go away and think about how we can actually market this as a concept, and not just a simple remote control.
Can I just get something to do?
Yes, certainly, of course.
Energy source is going to be
long term. I think we've decided that we're going to, for the simplicity of manufacturing and maintenance, that we will go for a long term
mm-hmm.
battery source.
Cool.
On the basis that if you're going for making a fashion statement, then people are more likely to change it anyway before it runs out. And make an assumption that we can aim for a battery that will last most people for let's say at least 5-10 years and that we will guarantee it for 5 years.
And we're having a custom chip?
We're having a custom chip, but given the we've cut the functions down, that will hopefully not be too problematic, but given that technological innovation is important, then we need to say it again, technologically innovate. we must resist any efforts to try and water that down.
And interchangeable case?
Interchangeable case seems to be important to the concept. It should be cheap, if you avoid any electrical connections. If we can come up with some way of allowing people to actually personalise it to whatever they want, then this is technically new, we don't know whether to what extent people will do it or not, but if they've at least got a good selection of covers that they can use anyway. And then if we can keep them rolling, then that's when getting in the supermarket when they get into any of the famous supermarkets, I won't mention any names. It's good for the supermarket, it's good for us, and it hopefully makes them feel better.
And are we going to have it all being illuminated from inside onto the button? So.
No, because we've got so few buttons that actually makes that redundant.
Mm-hmm, it does actually make sense too. Yeah, and especially for making them so different.
That solves one of the problems of the battery life, because
mm-hmm.
that would problem the battery life. So
mm-hmm.
Given the nature of the buttons we're having, it's absolutely unnecessary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And having it that it's any angle, or is it just...
As wide.
Yeah.
So certainly wider angle than current, so that if you're holding it anyway, like you're trying to, and it will work most of the time. Not like my mummy points it at the ceiling, which is why the television isn't. this was the thing that sort of the hole at the top would be
yeah,
the
this
infrared
wall.
There. Because the reality is people are they're going to be looking at the television whilst they're using it, the chances are. So if they're holding it anyway that they're reasonably likely to be holding it to use it, then that's the sort of coverage that we want. Okay, are we all clear?
Yeah.
Where we go from here? Okay, so thank you very much indeed, and we'll see you all again.